I'd like to call this meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors to order. It is 9:01, and I would like to ask you to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to welcome everyone here. We do have one board member who has an excused absence. That's Director Gray. But we do have a quorum because we have the other four board members here. So we're okay to go forward. Let's go ahead and ask for public comment. And this public comment is for people who are, for agenda items that are actually on the agenda. So do we have anybody in-house who would like to make public comment? Do we have anybody online?
Yes, Crosby and Laura Schwartz.
Okay. Crosby and Laura Schwartz, please.
Good morning, President Scott, board, and staff. We are requesting that the following two vacant parcels be removed from Exhibit A to Resolution 37-2025 contract abatement list for the reasons listed below. The two parcels are APN 023-282-033 and APN 023-341-074. Number one, we believe all our parcels meet the published 2025 Fire Hazard Fuel Reduction Program guidelines. Number two, from the CCSD staff photographs, we believe that the parcels that failed inspection are not the APN numbers listed in Exhibit A. In fact, one of them is actually the adjacent CCSD-owned property. Number three, both parcels are on steep slopes subject to erosion if the existing vegetation is disturbed. The geologic site observation report for the adjacent parcel is attached. We would appreciate the opportunity for a site visit with Chief Berkey to discuss what additional treatments may be needed to comply with the 2025 FHFRP guidelines. Thank you for your consideration of this request. That's my comment, and Laura also has a comment.
Okay, Laura, please.
Yes, good morning, board and staff. Laura Schwartz here, 17 years homeowner, 15 years of working on environmental lots that we've been purchasing close to our home, again, for environmental reasons. The thing, personally, I have worked on these lots, taking out the invasives, as per se in the weed guide that David uses for his training. I've been taking out these things by hand personally for 15 years. I've gotten rid of the broom. I've gotten rid of the poison hemlock. The tall grasses, I've planted only native vegetation that is green and healthy. The thing is there, nature abhors a vacuum. If we take out the green understory, native green understory, the invasives will come back that are much more flammable and they will cause much more trouble. The more you whack, the worse it gets. I think you can see that in a lot of areas that's been happening. So my thing is we would like to have a meeting and discuss this. There's been some land that's been trimmed around us that now we have a wind tunnel that if we do have any invasives or any fires, God forbid, it will blow right to our house, much worse than it has before. So really asking to take into consideration here. And again, the one of the lots, the 033 lot, the 282, okay, they have taken a picture of the CCSD lot that is next door to us. And I personally have cleaned big tall grass off of that. So And I also get a lot of compliments from the neighbors on our street of how lovely our street is, how safe it is, and how green it is, and how cool it is. So please take all these things into consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Schwartz. Is there anyone else online?
No.
Okay. So I think there are some responses that we'd like to make to your statement. Do you want to do that, General Manager?
I can touch base on it, and then Chief Berkey can follow up, Madam President. It sounds like there's a philosophical difference between what Mrs. Schwartz and Mr. Schwartz think that needs to be done in terms of weed abatement, but the ordinance is clear on what needs to be done, ladder fuels and things of that nature. If they believe that there's some sort of exemption, it's outlined in Section D of the ordinance that they need to approach the fire chief 30 days prior. So staff's opinion is that it would be inappropriate to subvert the ordinance since it's been clear, and Mr. Schwartz has been to the Fire Protection Committee multiple times and commented on both ordinances for developed and undeveloped parcels. So this has been discussed ad nauseum, and they were well aware of the requirement to meet with the chief 30 days prior for any exemptions, and that was not done. The chief is willing to meet with the Schwartzes, but we don't have a lot of time. So I can work with the contractor in terms of the order in which these parcels will be abated, and there could be a couple days of leeway, which that the chief and the Schwartzes can meet and discuss this. But the argument of invasives, there's just isn't latitude for the district to evaluate philosophical differences on wind tunnels, and I mean the ordinance is what it is, and it is for the protection of the community. It's a public safety issue. I empathize with the discussion of invasives and how that can be problematic, but the ordinance is clear. We do have more photos. And the chief can meet with the Schwartzes, and they can go over those parcels. But we had another firefighter go by today and reevaluate those parcels to identify them. It is per the APN numbers; those are the Schwartzes, and the firefighter went there, and they still are failed parcels. So I can turn it over to the chief for anything further.
Yes, Chief Berkey, thank you.
Good morning. To back up everything General Manager McElhinney said. It's unfortunate that this didn't come to my attention earlier. We were really trying to get this information out so people could bring it to our attention earlier, so we could kind of avoid instances such as this. But the information that they've given me is great. That's exactly what I'm looking for, and have a conversation about these individual lots. As you know, all the lots are not created equal, so we want to go out and evaluate them on an individual basis. And so I'm more than happy to work with the Schwartzes and get get an idea of what we need to do. We're not looking to go through the entire property and completely moonscape it. Well, we do need to do something in that area to mitigate or forest manage that area. We've done the same thing with green space. So green space, Corinne was very willing to work with me on the Strawberry Canyon area and some of her other areas, and she brought this intention to me, brought this to my attention a couple of months back, and we were able to work through what we needed to do in those areas, and I thought it was a very thought out plan. And as you know, they're out there right now doing some pretty significant forest management in that area. So again, unfortunate this wasn't brought to my attention sooner, but I'm absolutely willing to work with them and talk with them, and again, walk the properties. I'm available today to do that, to walk the properties and find out exactly where their properties are. We've done this with many people, so I'm again, the time is of essence, because we have obviously today and tomorrow they're being set free, but I've also mentioned to our contractor that if there's any issues or any questions in these areas, that they're going to bring it to my attention. So
okay.
I feel like we have a pretty transparent relationship with them, and hopefully we can continue that with our citizens as well.
So will you take next steps then to get in?
I will be reaching out to them. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Scott, and thank you, Mr. McElhaney and Mr. Berkey. I just want to ask you with regard to the second point that they make here in their written comment. From CCSD photographs, we believe the parcels that failed inspection are not the APN numbers listed in Exhibit A. So is it actually possible that the photographs are of the wrong property?
It's happened before, yeah, and that's what I'll confirm. I'll go out there again. It's very difficult to tell from one picture where what property line we're talking about, but I'll go out there. My firefighter was out there this morning, kind of confirming those lines. It looked like it's pretty accurate, but again, I'll reach out to the property owners and they should have a lot of, maybe they have some more historic data that I don't have to confirm all of these. And again, we'll just work together and make sure we're talking about the correct property.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'd just like to say that we recognize all the hard work that you both have put into a lot of the forest health and that kind of thing. So we truly appreciate that, and hopefully you can get things worked out with Chief Berkey, and we can go on from here. Thank you so much. Anybody else online?
No.
Okay. So I think then we're ready to go on to hearings and appeals, and so I'd like to open the hearing on agenda item 3A. General Manager McElhaney, could you please present this agenda item?
Yes, Madam President. Agenda item 3A, a public hearing to discuss and consider adoption of resolution 37-2025, ordering abatement of public nuisance for the fire hazard fuel reduction program, known as the FRP. The fiscal impact on the district essentially is us paying the contractors fees to weed abate these failed parcels, and then through the reimbursement process, as we send out those bills, the CCSD then subsequently sends out bills to cover those fees. If those fees aren't paid, they're collected on the tax roll. Per the health and safety code, these notices to destroy weeds were sent out to all the owner of the parcels in the district. And additionally, we sent out a letter to the community that not only explained the fire hazard fuel reduction program, but also the newly adopted ordinance when it comes to developed parcels. So we sent out a 10-page letter to every single parcel within the district, and for full transparency. So before you is the public nuisance list. I would like to say that the good thing is that we are down to, again, I'm ballparking, I haven't counted them out exactly,
170.
170 parcels that failed, which is almost half of where we were at last year and almost a quarter of where we were at 2 years ago. So I think the hard work of the fire chief, fire protection committee, ad hocs, you name it, have done a good job in getting the word out to the community about this changing of the tide in terms of how important this is to the district in terms of fire protection. So I think we're heading in the right direction with the drop in the amount of failed parcels. And with that, I'll turn it over to the board.
Board members have questions or comments? Yes, Director Dean.
I would just like to say that, thank you, President Scott. I would just like to say that our fire department and our staff did an excellent job in getting the word out and making the public aware of what they needed to do for the weed abatement and fire protection. So thank you all very much for all you've done to keep the public informed.
Yeah, you filled up my email. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Director Farmer.
No, I just want to thank you, President Scott. I just wanted to make a comment. Yes, we should all be thanking staff for the efforts that they've made to get our residents more up to speed on following up on weed abatement and so forth. But I want to thank the community for taking the initiative and saying, well, we see that there is a problem and perhaps we've been contributing to it, so we'll do a better job to make sure that there's less of a problem. I know that sounds kind of strange that I'm saying it that way, but I want to thank the community members that have cooperated. So we're down to 25% of what it was a couple of years ago with regard to folks that have not complied. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Director Dean.
And I want to agree with what Director Farmer said. I saw a lot more weed abatement going on prior to this than I've ever seen before by members of the community. So they listened. And, of course, they probably got 3 emails a day as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Not only that, but we have people going, is anybody going to ever stop blowing and cutting? Okay. So are we ready to go ahead and close the hearing? Okay. Do I do public comment for each agenda item, too? Okay. Public comment. Any public comment in-house? Online?
Crosby and Laura Swart.
Oh, okay. Thank you. The Schwartzes?
Yes, good morning again. Yeah, there was one comment that I wanted to make about the accessibility to the lots that the list that failed. I had tried for a week to see if our lots were on the list. I called CCSD, we sent emails to try to find out if we were on the list a week before this happened. And we got no response. The other thing is we got 26-hour notice that our lots were on the list, which to me, it could cost us a lot of money. And it seems like this should have been noticed. We should have had accessibility to the list before this. So that's part of my comment. Our lots have never, in 15 years, they have never failed before. The thing is, we've heard that our staff doesn't like and hates our lots. So I was concerned and I tried. I reached out to directors. I reached out to past directors to try to get access to that list. I called the fire department and they told me to put in a public request that would have taken longer than when this hearing was. So I guess the second part of this is, can we please have information a little sooner when our lots don't pass so that we can talk to the fire chief in a timely way? I thank you very much. Please consider that.
Thank you. I'd like to know when the list was available.
We were working on finalizing the list this entire time, yes. And so it wasn't available until yesterday morning, and I posted around 5:58 a.m., so the public had a 27-hour notice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. Okay. Any other public comment?
No.
All right. Now we can close the hearing. And are we ready for a motion? Yes, Vice President Thomas.
I move that we adopt Resolution 37-2025 ordering abatement of public nuisance for the fire hazard fuel reduction program.
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Vice President Thomas.
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Scott?
Aye. Okay. Let's go to regular business. This is agenda item 4A. General Manager McElhaney, do you want to introduce the presenters?
Yes, Madam President.
Okay.
Agenda item 4A, sorry, I'm catching up on the agenda here. Agenda item 4A, receive a CCSD staff presentation of the Stewart Street Tank Construction Implementation Plan, discussion and consider of approval of a public works contract with Crosno Construction, approval of an agreement for consultant services with MKN for construction management services, and adoption of Resolution 36-2025, amending the fiscal year 25-26 budget for the Stewart Street tank construction. So I'll give it to Mr. Green after just a short kudos, let's say, to Mr. Green and his staff. We finally are moving this project forward in terms of the Stewart Street tanks that have, it's been a long, long process. There was a change in management, a change in philosophy in terms of what type of tanks we wanted to put in. Their hard work on the EPA grant that's going to help fund approximately $375,000 of this. We're going to be funding this through enterprise reserves, and so that's approximately that $2.1 million budget adjustment that will come out of reserves to fund the Stewart Street tanks. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Green.
Great. Thank you, General Manager McElhenney. Well, the reserve is actually 2.3.
I stand corrected.
Very good. If you like, I can begin with the implementation process for this. And this is kind of step 1.A here for us, approval at this juncture. We are looking at a rather aggressive timeline for this. We're looking to break ground on this by August 1st, much to the chagrin of our bidders, or the contractors who bid on this. But it's a project that we're going to take both tanks down individually, so that way we have at least marginal effort for fire flow at one tank. So this is going to take a year. We want to begin with this as soon as we can. August 1st is kind of our drop-dead date for that, and that will be with the removal of that lot to the south there where we have the chain link and retaining wall there. That'll get blown out. That'll be our staging area on that south side right there. And then we'll begin dismantling that first large tank. And that will be the first tank that's replaced then with the smaller tank, and that'll be the reorientation there. So we're looking to get at least that tank down. We know we're going to be battling some inclement weather with this. I never hope for drought or anything of that sort of nature, but it would be nice if Mother Nature gave us some assistance at least on this, on the first half of that tank. So we're looking to get that first tank removed and the pad poured and replaced and compaction and all that construction pieces that go along with that by the beginning of the wet season this year. So that's a lot of underground and a lot of earth moving, but I think it's absolutely doable. We just need to work collaboratively with our construction manager on that. Some other key phases, we're looking hopefully by December or January, we'll begin construction of that first tank. And then once that's completed, we'll have the onboarding process with that where we take bacterial results. We'll work with the Division of Drinking Water, which will have to give us ultimate authorization to put that in our system or online. And then from there, we'll take down that second tank around February of 2026, and we'll begin the six-month teardown and rebuild process with that. That's just kind of a broad, overarching process to that. If there's any questions on that, I'll take that from the board right now, and then maybe we can move on to discussing bids.
Yes, Vice President Thomas.
Thank you. Just one simple question, and the information provided is so very comprehensive. Thank you for that. And August sounds like the perfect time to be doing that site work and demo. And then I'm assuming that there'll be, the welding, the construction, the installation during the rainy season likely interrupts that, maybe you can talk about that, but obviously that's not going to be a problem because it's the plan, but maybe talk a little bit about how that works.
Sure. There was some kind of background noise in there, but basically you're wondering how we're going to operate during like the inclement weather sessions. So during that time, let's say that we have some early rain this year. We all have heard the saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb. So if we get some of that early October rain and we're in the middle of the compaction process, we'd cover that up or tarp it, straw wattle it, so that way no water can get in and upset that compaction zone or that area. If we were be in the construction of the welding portion of that, that too would be tarped off and kept from the inclement or direct weathering for that. So it's just covering and straw wattling. Again, this will be a construction site, so anytime you have mounds of dirt or materials, it needs to be a straw wattle to capture that. So if you do have inclement weather, that whatever chemicals or whatever's in there wouldn't leach out.
Yeah, thank you. Makes sense. And as a lump sum contract, that means that any additional work on the contractor's part is not on the CCSD.
Correct.
So that's it's just wanted to point that out.
Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Scott. So, Mr. Green, so you talk about inclement weather. You know, under normal circumstances, obviously, if it were raining in December and January, we'd be celebrating. So obviously, if something does happen with regard to rain, this might set things back a little bit, but that should be anticipated. But what I wanted to ask you is, when you began your presentation and you were talking about the bidders, and you said, much to the, with regard to beginning on August the 1st, you said your quote was, much to the chagrin of the bidders. I'm assuming that means because they're going to have to get up to speed real quickly to start this. Is that what you're referring to?
Right. They'll have to assemble their subcontractors, have the equipment, have their compaction analysis ready and lined up to go. So this is a lot of scrambling in 2 weeks to kind of assemble your team or your crew for these initial phases. So it can be done. I'm confident.
How do they feel?
They're chagrined.
Yes, they're chagrined.
They understand that it can be done, but there's a lot of pressure on them, and they feel that. But again, we both don't want to work against the weather that's upcoming. So it is key, it's critical to start this pathway now, so that way, as the inclement weather hits, we're prepared. It's a simple piece where we can tarp over this for a couple days while we get our storm event, and not being vulnerable or have things that are half covered or half uncovered. So as much as it can be a pain for them, I think they're in concurrence with that we need to get started as soon as we can. And as the saying goes, make hay while the sun shines.
Yeah, my hunch is that the other six are chagrined, but Krasno is very happy to have the work.
Yeah.
That's my hunch.
That probably makes sense. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Director.
So I just have a question. And this is, you have to remember, I'm a psych nurse. So how are you feeling about using your reserves?
I'm always nervous about reserves. If I can flash back to about 7 years ago when I took over this department or water initially, it was 1.6 in reserves, roughly there, and now we have 6.1, so I think I've kept the purse strings tight. Yeah. We've been as efficient, as an economical as we can be as a utilities department, especially in water in that area. So, yeah, there's a, I don't want to say buyer's remorse, but there's a piece of me that would probably like to go out for funding, but this is what reserves is for. It's not just for emergency operation during, you know, specific times. It is for procurement and CIP and those things, so... yeah, if you love it, let it go. So we'll just have to let it go and build some tanks with it.
And I very much appreciate that that's how we're going to fund this. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you like to discuss any of the bids or anything further in the implementation plan?
I feel real comfortable that our committee has reviewed this and approves of what your choice has been. Any board members have any comments about this? Yes. Yes.
Both of the bids that were brought to R&I are from people who have done work for us before, and their bids were fairly close, but as a public works project, we are supposed to take the lower bid, but as it turns out, the lower bid, Krasno, has built tanks for us before.
We do.
And that is what they do. They build tanks. So we're comfortable with that. It was interesting that each of the two final bids, Hartzell and Krasno, each used each other as a subcontractor in their bid. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was a little confusing when I was reading the document.
But the fact that Krasno, besides being lower, that is what he does, is build tanks. I think that was a very good choice. So I'm
I'm happy with it, and we did have a thorough review at R&I.
Great. So.
Yeah, that's correct, Director Dean. Thank you. Yeah, two of our six domestic storage tanks are Krosno built. Mm.
Yes, Vice President Thomas.
Thank you, President Scott and Mr. Green. And I just want to reflect back on how this has progressed over the years. And when I first heard that we were going to replace in-kind bolted steel tanks, that just was the fingers on the blackboard for me. Whew, boy. And that this has progressed to welded steel tank construction. The life cycle is so much longer. So confident we're doing the right thing.
Thank you. Yeah, that was an internal discussion years ago about the bolted. And I've never been a fan in this environment of it. Maybe as you get closer to the valley over there, the environment's a lot more conducive to, you know, duty life of a bolted tank. But out here, welded is just the way to go. And I don't think there's an engineering firm or contractor that would tell you otherwise. So thank you, Vice President Thomas. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Scott. So I'm ambivalent, reluctant to pose this question. But I feel like for people that are out there in the public who might be thinking about asking this question, I'm going to do it for them. So when I first got on the board back in 2016, and I remember in 2017 when we did a site visit to the Stewart Street tanks, and at that time General Manager Gruber spoke to the fact that we needed to replace the tank. And then he changed his mind, says, well, let's just do some repairs, even though the people that we had doing the work at that time, Mr. Bellis and his crew, they said, no, you need to do the new tanks now. So here we are like 8 years later. So I guess the question would be, why has it taken so long to address this issue since it was seen as a problem, like I said, 8 years ago?
Well, I can tell you.
And is it fair that I'm asking this question? I
mean, no, that's an absolutely fair question, Director Farmer. You know, no, I'll kind of commiserate with you on to an extent there. When I first arrived here and did a full asset inspection as I moved from CPO of the WRF over to Superintendent for Water, that was one of my chief concerns, was that tank. We had just spent $77,000 in 2017 to replace seven pie pieces after a notice of violation from the Division of Drinking Water. I don't know how many more flags you could have thrown up in the air that says these tanks need replacing. And at that time, to replace both of those tanks would have probably cost $500,000.
Right, that was the rough estimate, yeah.
Yeah. So we spent $77,000 just procrastinating on a major decision here. As we went through our, you know, our executives at the general manager level, none were quite as prioritized with that tank replacement as I felt I was. And so thank goodness for General Manager McElhenney's arrival and that we can push this priority issue to the top. And we've had talks and we've had designs and we've known what we want to do with these tanks since probably 2018, 2019. So it's nice to see this fully executed. But I've tried my darndest, Director Farmer, to push this issue and have this replacement project brought forward. So I don't know if that's much of an answer, but that's the best that I can speak to.
Well, I could probably infer what you're saying with regard to previous people in positions of responsibility and authority that dropped the ball with regard to following up on this very important issue.
I would concur with that statement, yes.
All right.
And then I'll argue with Jim and say I had nothing to do with this. Jim is the one that, Mr. Green, that is. He's the one that's moved the ball forward on this. So the change in management in his position, not only from him becoming the utilities manager to Cody Meeks stepping in as the superintendent and Tony Artho, like he's got a rock solid team and they started moving the ball. They just started doing work. And so I think it was just leadership issues in general and not really putting your foot to the pedal. And if I can say anything about Mr. Green, he's put his foot to the pedal on multiple projects in the district, and they're moving quickly. And I'll just remind the board and the public that he's only been in the position as the utilities manager for, what, a year and 8 months? Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been very long. And he's all of a sudden taken projects that were literally at a standstill, and now they're here. You know, whether it comes to the East Ranch restroom, Stewart Street tanks, water reclamation facility project description, I could go on and on. Skate park, all of it. So that's credit to him.
Thank you, General Manager.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Green.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will thank the board, because it does take board direction and response. So I appreciate this board of directors that we have here. So thank you guys all very much.
Yes, Director Dean.
I just want to pile on and thank our great management team that we have in place, and that includes the general manager, yeah, because he is the gatekeeper to the department managers. And if he didn't decide to move this forward, it wouldn't have moved forward. So thank you to all of you. Appreciate it. And this is a project that very much needed to be done for a very long time, so I'm happy to see it coming before us.
Yeah, and I live on Richard.
Well, if you thought the SST program was noisy.
Oh, no.
There will be some noise impact with some ratchet guns and removing the bolted, yeah, initially, but it'll be a shorter duration than what we just experienced with the SST. But we'll also do some public outreach on Richard and Stewart Street. If anyone saw the R&I, you saw the new banners that we had prepared that will be hanging probably sometime next week when we get more dates for a pre-app meeting and those sorted out. But, yeah.
Yes, Director Dean.
And the new banners are absolutely beautiful and be very eye-catching. But I know you're going to do some public outreach, going door-to-door to talk to the neighbors. Are you also going to do doorknob hangers and things like that?
Yes, yeah, so our intention is to print about 200, 250 door hangers, knock on the door. If we don't have any response, we'd leave that there with a direct line to me and maybe a brief project scope. I can be over verbose sometimes, so we'll basically just be like, tank project starting, there'll be some noise impacts, any questions, just reach out to me. But hopefully, I know on the Richard side or the Stewart side of that, there's a lot of full-time residents that are there full-time, so hopefully that I can get in touch with some of those folks, and then we can kind of spread the word that way.
What time do they start in the morning?
So legally, we can start at 7 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other board member comments or questions? How about public comment? How about in-house? Yeah, we've got a lot of people in-house. None. How about online?
No.
Okay, then I think we're ready for a motion.
I move that we approve, may I, President Scott?
Yes, you may.
I move that we approve the public works contract with Krosno Construction and approve an agreement with consultant services with MKM CPM LLC for construction management services and adopt resolution 36-2025 amending the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget for the Stewart Street tank construction.
And I'll go ahead and second that. Thank you.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
Vice President Thomas?
Aye.
President Scott?
Aye. So I'd like to say something. And you notice AGP is here, right? And I did that because I really believe that the two things that were on the agenda today were very important for us to actually have a really complete documented process of what happened today. And so I'm disappointed that nobody came. But I appreciate the people who have commented online. And I just want people to know that we truly believe that the transparency that we provide for this community is exceptional. So thank you. Right? Okay. So are we ready to adjourn?
Yes, Madam President.
Okay.
I also wanted to let the directors know that we brought the new brush truck.
Outside?
Yeah, it's outside. So.
Okay. But yeah, I saw the emails and stuff. So, and I get to ride in it at Pine Dorado. Right. Okay. Good. Okay. Let's go ahead and yes.
No, excuse me, President Scott. I just want to make a comment, and I probably don't need to do this, but I had the good fortune. I believe it was 2 years ago, might have been 3 years ago, where I actually had the opportunity to ride in the parade in the Vactor truck.
I know, I saw you. I remember seeing you.
So just wanted to throw that in. Thanks.
We have a new tractor coming at some point, so maybe Director Farmer can ride in that
there
one this time.
Can we put you in the bucket and we can lift you up?
Exalted. You and your doggy.
Yeah, as long as the bucket doesn't have a hole in it, I'm okay with it.
Anybody else? No? All right. Let's go ahead and adjourn then. It's 9:42. Okay.